We'll see. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, and we will be looking at chapters 2, verses 1 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Amen. I share the same testimony as my parents that God has taken us on an extensive journey as we went to Indianapolis. And I had to drive to Benton Harbor to drop my sister off, and my wife, who's preparing for my son's first birthday, which I'm pretty excited about, and had to drive from there last night to here, and that was a little over 6 hours, and I got in a little bit around 1:30, and but I'm still here. I know my help will come. I know my help will come as I deliver the word he always does. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." And this is the verse I want to focus on, verse number 8. "And then shall the wicked, that wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." I want to read verse 8 one more time to emphasize the point I want to make today. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Today I want to preach to a message simply entitled, "The Brightness of His Coming." The brightness of his coming. Let us pray today. Heavenly Father, we just worship you. We love you. We exalt you. We bless your name, God, for your spirit that is already moving and working in our midst today. And I pray even now that you would anoint these lips of clay, that you would enable me, Lord Jesus, to deliver your word with clarity and with power. I even pray against every spirit that's unlike God, every spirit of deception or confusion or distraction, any spirit that would try to harden the hearts of the listeners so they would not be converted. I rebuke and I curse in the name of Jesus. I dismantle in the name of Jesus. I reverse its works and its efforts today in the name of Jesus. And I command that there would be a release in this house, a release for liberty and for freedom, for signs and wonders and miracles that would be wrought in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare it and we decree it done in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory and the thanks. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. Oh, just a reminder, if you have any young children that are here, we do have a nursery available for you if your child gets fussy. We are recording the services, and we do broadcast them online, and so we want to be sure we have a high-quality recording. And so if your child is becoming fussy or uncontrollable, we do ask, out of respect for the others that are here and also for our recording, that you would take your child to the nursery. We do have people in there watching them, right? Okay, just making sure. We're not just throwing them in a room and see who survives. You know, it's not one of those. We're giving them pacifiers. They're like fighting to the death, you know. But no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So there is someone to watch them, so. But getting back to the point here, the text that we just read, this text is referring to the Antichrist. I thought it was fitting that this text would be chosen considering the theme for this month, that we are talking about the rapture, we're talking about eschatology, end time prophecy. This text referring to the Antichrist, who will eventually rule and deceive the world, and many are still trying to figure out what the identity of this individual is. And I'm not at all going to attempt to unravel or uncover the identity of him. I believe that that's not going to be revealed until the rapture actually occurs, as stated in the text. But the thing is, we're not going to be talking about the Antichrist specifically, but we'll be dealing with the Antichrist more in a general form. Because what many people fail to realize is that there technically is more than one Antichrist. Yes, there is the main Antichrist, the coming world leader that will impose his government and the mark of the beast and all sorts of evil wickedness. But the Bible talks about there is actually a multiplicity of Antichrists that are there. Many people fail to realize that there is more than one Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Little children, It is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. That's talking about the coming world leader that the other text was referring to. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There are many Antichrists that are in the world, and not just the coming world leader. Now, notice again, as I said, this text says the Antichrist, the coming world leader, which has not been revealed, and then there are these other Antichrists, plural. These other Antichrists have been and still are with us today. Now, what do I mean by Antichrist? The word Antichrist comes from the Greek word antichristos, which means against Christ, or an opposition of Christ, or as a rival of Christ. We're using the term Antichrist. We're talking about someone who is opposed to Jesus Christ, who is the adversary and the enemy of Christ, and is a rival. And when I use that term rival, not only just jockeying for, is also jockeying for position, meaning that in a sense a counterfeit Christ, one that is trying to stand in the place where Jesus Christ should be, occupying the office that Jesus Christ should occupy. We find later on in this very chapter, in verse 22 of 1 John chapter 2, that John gives us more detail regarding the definition of the spirit of the Antichrist. It says, "Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." So anyone that denies Jesus Christ is operating by the spirit of Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle John gives us even further detail regarding the Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit of Antichrist..." I'm sorry. "And every spirit that confesses that not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Now it says it right there that any spirit that can that denies Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, or that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, is of Antichrist. And also goes on to say that every spirit or anything that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, in other words, they deny the incarnation, that God himself became man and died on the cross for our sins, anything that denies that reality is operating under the spirit of Antichrist. It goes on to say in verse 4 that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in the world than he that is in the world. They're of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So there is a spirit of Antichrist that is already in operation in this world today. What do I mean by that? I mean anything that is denying the reality that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he is the only way unto salvation, the only way to live. Anything that refuses to confess and to recognize Christ's lordship and his kingship is operating under the spirit of Antichrist. And that's why it is so hard sometimes to live a life that is holy and separated and to live righteous, because everything around us is denying the reality that Jesus in fact is the Christ. That we're living in a world that is hostile towards the gospel, that is hostile towards the Christian teaching of the Bible. They're hostile towards it. When you can't call a Christmas tree a Christmas tree anymore, and you have to call it a holiday tree, you're getting the evidence that we're living in an anti-Christian establishment. When we remove the Bible and prayer out of the government and we welcome in Satanists and Luciferianism into our teaching, then we are living in an atmosphere that is diametrically opposed and hostile towards the teaching of Jesus Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. You're looking for him to be revealed as some big coming leader. He's already operating. He's already infiltrated our establishments, our governments, our schools, our education, our job. He is thoroughly entrenched inside of our reality, in the fabric of our doings in our daily lives. And so the thing is, everything around us in some way is trying to deny the fact that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus came down in the flesh and died for your sins and bore your burdens and all that you have. Now I want to talk about two things here, that the spirit of Antichrist is defined in two ways. What it does and how it does. As I just stated, that the what is that it rivals, opposes, or even counterfeits Christ. The how it does this is that it rivals, opposes, or even counterfeits Christ by denying that Jesus is the Christ and that he did not come in the flesh. You look at all these cults that are around. And examples of people that fulfill that type of roles, you look at people like Jim Jones, who orchestrated one of the largest mass suicides in history. That he started off good as a person that was for civil rights, the civil rights movement, and got people to follow him and was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then he got to a point where he said that the Bible doesn't mean anything anymore. In fact, in a documentary on Jim Jones, that witnesses stated that he took the Bible and he flew it. And he had, just threw it right across the room and said, "Did any lightning hit me? There's no power in this thing." And he led his people down into a trench of suicide. Then you have people like David Koresh, who in 1993 lived in Waco, Texas, and claimed that he was the Son of God and got people to believe that he was Christ, and he got everyone killed in that building in a fight with the FBI. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. It's already here. It's already here. So the thing is, it's trying to deny that Jesus is the Christ, and it's trying to deny that he has come in the flesh. And the fact of the matter is that the Word of God has come in the flesh through Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth." So we understand that how Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but you have to understand that the born-again experience is about the Word being made flesh, not just in Jesus' bodily form, but the Word being made flesh inside of you. That God wants to put his Word inside of you. And once his Word is inside of you, his Word will become flesh, because as his Word gets in your heart, it gets in your actions, it gets in your speech. And that's why the Bible says that thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Because the Word of God is my defining line by which I judge and by which I behave. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of uncorruptible or incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That you're born again by the Word of God. So the fact of the matter is, you come to church, you hear the Word of God being preached, you hear the seed being sown into your heart. When you leave this building, you're going to find something that is the spirit of Antichrist that's trying to deny the fact that Jesus Christ is in you, or that Jesus Christ is God. You look at your bank statement and you see that you have hardly anything in there and the bills are stacking up there. That thing is trying to deny that Jesus is the Christ, because Jesus is the provider. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When you look at a sickness and a disease in your body, that thing is a spirit of Antichrist, because it's stating that it's that Jesus is not your healer. But the Bible said that by his stripes that we were healed. That every situation and circumstance that you confront in some way is challenging you to see if you really believe that Jesus is the Christ. When you turn on the news and you see that ISIS is beheading people by the hundreds and thousands just because they're Christians, you are seeing the spirit of Antichrist. When you have people in Kenya that are just trying to get an education, and the Hoko Haram comes in and rounds up all the Christians and blows their brains out just because they're Christians, you are seeing the spirit of Antichrist. You cannot fellowship with this world. You cannot make friends with this world, because this world is run by Satan, who is trying to kill and destroy you. Satan is trying to deny what is inside of you. He's trying to get you to not confess that Jesus is the Christ. Everything around you, the spirit of Antichrist is there. Colossians 1:25, I want you to see this. Colossians 1:25 simply says this: "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Paul here is writing, there's a mystery that has been hidden from the dawn of time, that had not yet been revealed up until this point, that is now revealed as he was writing this. And this is the mystery. Check this out. Verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Here's the mystery. "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." That your situations, your circumstances are trying to deny the Christ that is inside of you, which is the hope of glory. The Bible said that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And whenever our hopes are deferred, whenever we don't see things happening quite the way that we want it to be, the Bible says that your heart becomes sick. And so what the devil tries to do is that he tries to put circumstances to delay the things that God has in your life, to make your hope sick. But the fact of the matter is, my hope is not in a financial blessing. My hope is not in a new car or a new house or anything else. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And the fact of the matter is that no matter what the circumstance is telling me, no matter how bad the situation is going on around me, I still have hope, because hope is not outside of me. Hope is inside of me, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why the Bible commands you to rejoice even in the midst of diverse tribulations and circumstances, because inside of you is hope, inside of you is joy, inside of you is peace, inside of you is love and goodness and patience. You just got to tap inside of that thing and get a shovel called worship and praise, and just make up your mind and say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And as I praise God, and I begin to dig down deep, I begin to tap into the fact that once I was lost, but now I am found. I once was blind, but now I see. And I remember that I was a sinner, lost and a wretched, departed from God. But then God found me, rescued me, picked me off of the miry clay, and put me on a rock to stay. And joy begins to rise up inside of me. He said, greater is he that's in you than he that's within the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. If Satan can get you not to understand that, he's got you. Because the Bible says, had the prince of this world had known this mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was bad enough having one Jesus walking around. But Jesus said, it's needful that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, my spirit, to dwell inside of you. And so Jesus was trying to multiply himself. Satan was just was scared in his boots about one Jesus. But can you imagine hundreds and thousands of Jesus, because Christ is inside of you? I don't think it's hitting you just yet, but we'll get there. So we see the spirit of Antichrist everywhere, because this world is being run by Satan, who is trying his best to deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and is in our flesh. John 15, 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, you ever had a job and just for some reason they don't like you, the boss is always getting your case, or you have that one coworker that's always just trying to undermine you and trying to find ways to get you in trouble, and you never said anything wrong to them, never did a single bad thing to them, because there's something inside of them that is not meshing with something that's inside of you. But don't worry about it, baby, because greater is the God inside of me than the devil that's inside of you, and I'm going to overcome whatever you got thrown at me. It's a spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist that is rising up. And you think, oh, they're hating on me. They're not hating on you. They're hating on the Jesus that's inside of you. You come to Christ and you get saved, and they're trying to tell you, oh, you're a hypocrite, you're two-faced, you ain't changed enough, nothing's happened to you. They're not hating on you. They're hating on the Jesus that's inside of you, because the Jesus on the inside of you is convicting the devil inside of him, and the devil's starting to itch and he can't take it. For now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Wherever you go, Jesus goes, and wherever you go, liberty goes. So wherever there's bondage and oppression, it's got to go backward, because the liberty inside of me is stronger than the bondage that's outside of me. So don't be surprised when the world starts hating on you. You're a musician, you're trying to get a rap career, you can't seem to get it because you're rapping about Jesus, because it's all full of Illuminati stuff. See, that went over here too. This whole system is being run by the devil. And one of the reasons why you can't get anywhere sometimes, because it's like some Jim Crow law stuff been set up to go against you. Try everything to sit in the good old boys, or they got a pact in the back that's trying to keep you down. Spiritually speaking, I'm saying. And so we got to understand here that if you're trying to do something for God, the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you down. Everything he can. He said, don't be surprised that they hate on you. That they're drunk on haterade, so to speak. That's all they got is hate. Hating on everything you say. Hating on the clothes you wear. Hating everything you do. Because they're full of devils. That's why. That spirit of Antichrist. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He said, look, why are we surprised we get persecuted? Look what they did to Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the Christ himself. They said he's the Lord of devils. They said he's the friend of sinners. That he's a drunkard. And that they beat him and brutalized him and murdered him. And the Bible says that the servant is not greater than the master. So when stuff starts happening to you, why are you surprised? If they got Jesus, don't you think they're going to come after you? Don't you think they're going to come after you? But don't worry about it, because the Bible says, blessed are you when people speak ill of you and they revile you and persecute you. Because it's an indicator that something on the inside is irritating the devils on the outside. I want to get on the devil's nerves. Anyone with me? So, having now established the spirit of Antichrist, this thing that is against us, how do we fight this thing? How do we do this? What do we do about this? There's only two things that stops the Antichrist, all right? And I believe it's outlined in this text. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to look at verses 6 and through 9 in particular to really bring this out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work," as we already said. The Antichrist, that spirit is already here trying to keep Christians from not propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked," this is referring to the Antichrist, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Two things to stop and overcome the Antichrist. One, the spirit of the mouth of the Lord. And two, the brightness of his coming. Now, remember I said there's multiple antichrists, all right? And if these two things stop the big chieftain antichrist, then these two things would also stop the spirit of antichrist that is in the world. You understand? You follow me? If it's going to stop the coming world leader who's going to implement the mark of the beast, if this will stop him, it's going to stop the spirit of antichrist, all these other anti-Christian things that are fighting against me. The spirit of the mouth of the Lord and the brightness of his coming. Now, the thing is this. Why are these two elements the means by which the enemy is defeated? Firstly, let's deal with the spirit of the mouth, all right? The spirit of Jesus Christ's mouth. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 17, talking about the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual armor, it says in verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God." That the word of God beats the devil, because the devil is a liar and he is the embodiment of everything that is false and of everything that is wrong. The Bible said that man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh forth or cometh forth from the mouth of God. And the thing is, we have to understand is that if we're going to defeat the enemy, the word of God needs to be ready on our mouth, because that is one of the methods by which the Antichrist is going to be destroyed, by the spirit of the mouth that Jesus Christ has, which is the word of God. And so one of the reasons why, when we get into a situation and we get into a struggle and we're fighting, how much of the word of God are we using to combat the enemy? Or are you fighting him with emotions? Or are you fighting with begging? Oh, go, you know, not in the face. Not in the face, you know, that kind of thing. You're trying to do one of those, or you're trying to beg and ask God to rescue you. Or are you going to do what God has already commanded you to do, which is to speak to the problem and command it to go, because God has already given you inherent authority and ability to overcome all the power of the enemy. We need to fight the enemy with the word of God. The Bible says in John 8:44, it says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The best way to beat a lie is with the truth. And Jesus said that "I am the way," John 14:6, "I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 8:32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Any place where the enemy is beating you is a place where you are not knowing or walking in truth. That's why it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Because when you're walking in truth, the enemy cannot touch you, because you're trampling on the lies that he's speaking against you. You've got to know the truth, because the truth will make you free. The second element to defeating the Antichrist is the brightness of his coming, because he operates from the kingdom of darkness. Satan is coming from the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 6:11, talking about the armor of God, says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now I want to ask the question, what is the brightness of his coming? Now that word brightness that's there in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 can also be translated the appearing, or the unveiling, the revealing. It can be translated either way, brightness or unveiling. And the thing is, I want to talk about the brightness of his coming because it's such an amazing idea. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 12. I've been studying this thing about light for the last maybe 3 or 4 months, and I still have not unraveled all of it. I'll just share with you what I've gotten thus far. But what I've discovered is just is really amazing, that you're going to find there's a pattern that God has when talking about light. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life." He shall not walk in darkness, he shall have the light of life. Turn with me to John chapter 11, verse 9. I want you to see this. John chapter 11, verse 9. This is talking about the story of Lazarus, okay? Lazarus has just died, and the disciples are kind of confused about this whole thing, and Jesus is giving his explanation. Jesus answered, he's saying we need to go back to Bethany where Lazarus is, in the previous verse. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep." You know, one of the things that wakes you up in the morning is when the sun rises. And when those sunbeams begin to hit your eyes, it causes you to wake up. And that is exactly the calling that Christ has put on the church, is that we are supposed to be the light of the world, to wake them up. They're asleep in darkness, and the enemy has them captive, but our job is to wake them up. Now, but before I get to that waking up part, about waking someone else, I want to talk about how you're woken up. Turn with me to Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. This is a very interesting scripture. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Now, notice it didn't say it's the light of the Lord, it's the candle. In other words, it's the means by which that light can come, in a sense. Okay, you can have a candle and not do it, won't do anything unless there's some sort of ignition that happens, that a spark that starts that light to come into being. Now, hold your finger there. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I'm going to bring this all together in just a second. Look at Matthew 6:22. Matthew 6:22, Jesus says this, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So here's the thing. Your spirit, the spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord. The Bible says that the eye is the light for the body. So the thing is, if the eye is the light, it's you're seeing something that is causing ignition inside of your spirit, because your spirit's the candle. The candle won't produce any light until it comes in contact with something that would cause combustion or ignition to produce light. So the thing is, in order for your spirit to produce light, for you to become the light of the world, you would have had to have seen something, because the light of the body is the eye. What did you see? Well, I think the hymnal says it best, that I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. That the thing is that what lights a candle is you need another candle. And Jesus Christ is called the light of the world. And when his spirit came in contact with my spirit, there was a knitting that happened. There was an ignition that happened, that suddenly I began to produce light. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now look what it says in verse number 8. Number 8, it says, "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Notice the exchange between light and life. The two are interchangeable. That in order for someone to truly become alive, they have to come in contact with the ultimate light. The Bible calls God the Father of lights. And that when you come in contact with him, the Bible says you will not walk in darkness. And that wherever you go, you have that light. And technically, what you have is the brightness of his coming. Because when Jesus Christ came, he brought light to the world. And from that first coming, we have the light that comes inside of us. And so technically, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are carrying the brightness of his coming. Did you see that? Inside of you is the brightness of his coming that the Bible says shall destroy the Antichrist. If you want to destroy the Antichrist in your life, get connected with the light of the world and let the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming is going to destroy the enemy. When in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus went on the Mount Transfiguration, the Bible said that his whole raiment shone as a great light. They couldn't even look at it. You know, when you turn on the light, that the cockroaches, they run. And when you turn on Christ, when you operate in Christ in you, the hope of glory, the devils run. Because he's going to be destroyed by the brightness of one, his first coming, and also his second coming. What we carry inside of you, inside of us, is the brightness of his first coming, but we're also a reminder of his second coming. That you see, devil, that Jesus beat you with the cross, and guess what? He's coming back to finish the job. Every time you preach Jesus, you're reminding him that one day the sky is going to part and the trumpet is going to sound and the brightness of his coming is going to destroy the works of darkness. We need to start manifesting light. The brightness of Christ inside of you is Christ, the hope of glory. Inside, if you, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. It's searching all the inward parts of the belly. Inside of you is the light that will destroy the darkness that is around you. You just need to get in contact with that light. Look at this. Turn with me to Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14 says this. When Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Stop there just for a minute. It says nobody lights a candle and hides it in a bushel. Now the thing is, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And our goal today, what we need to do, is to remove the carnality, remove the flesh, remove the bushel, so to speak, so that the candle of God can shine and the light can be controlled in the darkness. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Notice, the good works aren't necessarily the light. The light is shining so that they can see the good works. When you start preaching Jesus and start walking in sonship, walking as Christ is, it's going to expose, it's going to illuminate the good works that you're doing for the kingdom of God. And through that the enemy is going to be destroyed. I close with one more verse. One last verse. Ephesians 5. Verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Unfruitful works of darkness doesn't get you anywhere. Doesn't help you to progress anywhere. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. It's not working for you. It's unfruitful because it's darkness. You ever get up in the middle of the night and you have to, you know, maybe go grab a midnight snack and you're trying not to wake up your wife or wake up anyone else? And you're walking around, you stub your toe on something, and you're tripping over here because you're in darkness. And you're not very productive. Matter of fact, you end up hurting yourself. And that's what happens to a lot of people in this world, because they're walking in darkness trying to find, well, maybe science is my answer. Maybe psychology will help me with my problems. Maybe marrying somebody will help me with my problem. They're stumbling, trying to find something that's going to give them peace, that's going to give them truth. But there is only one truth. There's only one life, one way, one light. Don't have any unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame, verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." When Jesus, remember, Jesus said that Lazarus in John chapter 11 is asleep, and I must go wake him. And when Jesus arrives at the scene in Bethany, he is met by Mary and Martha. And Jesus questions them. And he says, do you believe that your brother will live again? And they say, Lord, we believe that they will live again in the resurrection on that great day. And he said, no, honey, wait a minute. The resurrection is not a day. The resurrection is a person. For he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You are waiting for the day when Christ returns, and we should be waiting in anticipation. But don't you understand? We need to take full advantage of the first advent, the first coming that came. Because Jesus, the resurrection is more than just a day. It's a person. And if you have inside of you the person of Jesus Christ, you have inside of you the resurrection. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because the resurrection is inside of you, no matter how dead that situation is, you can bring that back to life. That marriage that's been failing, you can bring that back to life. That child that has run away from home and has said disowns you, doesn't have anything to do with you, he can bring that relationship back to life. He is the resurrection and he is the life. We can destroy the works of the enemy through the spirit of the Lord's mouth, the word of God, which, by the way, the Bible says, thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Goes on to say that the entrance of thy word, it giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The two are, see, word, life, spirit, life. They're all the same thing. You see that? You see that they're interchangeable. When I'm talking about light, I'm talking about life. When I'm talking about spirit, I'm talking about the word. For my words are spirit and they are life. So, we need to destroy the spirit of Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Remind the enemy. One, you already lost at the cross. But two, you're going to get a second beat down when he comes again. When the wicked ones reveal, like, ah, I'm the devil, I'm so big and bad. Oh, you just came out to get whooped, didn't you? So there you are, I've been looking for you. You know, we're all scared about the Antichrist going to come out somewhere. I'm waiting for him to come out. Please, come on out. Because my Jesus is about to beat you. My Jesus is about to beat you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, fear not, little children, for I've already overcome the world. The brightness of my coming. My first coming has already done it. The brightness of my second coming is going to do even more. Let's walk in both. Let's walk now that Jesus Christ has already come and is inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And let's walk in the hope, in the actually not just the hope, the eventuality of his second coming. When you're discouraged, the Bible even says that comfort one another with these words. In 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul is writing his epistle, they were discouraged because their fellow brethren had fallen asleep. And they thought there was no more resurrection. And so don't worry about those that are asleep, because one day they're going to get up again. Jesus said that, you know, Lazarus is asleep, I've come to wake him. Jesus has come to wake you. Good morning. You know, the funny thing about morning isn't necessarily always, you know, when just the sun comes up, but it's also when you wake up. So the sun could have been up and the light's there, but you could still be asleep. Morning starts when you wake up. Do you know the Son of God, the light of the world, has been shining for 2,000 years? When are you going to wake up? Why are you still sleeping in the darkness and in the drugs and in the sex and in all the unfruitful work? Why are you sleeping in that? Arise, and Christ will give you light. The brightness of his coming. Christ wants to give you light today, church. You've been in a dark situation, and you've been fighting tooth and nail, trying to figure out what I'm going to do. The word of his mouth, the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness of his coming. We've been talking about the rapture, and I'm excited about the rapture. I'm so excited. And the brightness of his coming is going to destroy the wicked one. But right here, right now, we can destroy the wicked one, the wicked ones now. We don't have to wait until Christ returns when he destroys the chief wicked one. We can just kill all his minions now. You know, there's always, like in any movie, you always have the superhero that fights the boss, the big guy, the bad guy. They always have like his henchmen, like, you know, the police, they're coming, like, oh yeah, we got him, yeah, you know. And they fight all the other henchmen, you know what I'm saying? And Jesus Christ, he's the big boss, and so he's the only one that can take on the big boss, the big Antichrist. But all these other Antichrists, we can handle them. We can handle them. The devil is already defeated. And it's already morning. You just need to wake up. Arise and Christ will give you light. Let's stand. Let's stand. I've gone way past my time. It's a little bit deep, but that's what was on my spirit. The brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming. It can destroy any darkness. It could heal any wound. The spirit of Antichrist has been entrenched in your relationship or in your life far too long. And the only thing that's going to get that thing out, that thing that denies that Christ is in fact the Messiah, he is God, and that he was manifest in the flesh, is the brightness of his coming. So if you don't have Christ, if Christ is not inside of you, Christ said, I want to live inside of you. In John chapter 14, verse 16. Let me just get it right quick. John chapter 14, verse 16. Want to put that on the screen for me? Thought I had it in here. John chapter 14 says, talks about the comforter. Oh, there it is. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. You see how it says it seeth him not? Remember, the light of the body is the eye. And because they can't see him, they're still in darkness. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Ghost is here, and he wants to live inside of you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But a candle's no good if there's no flame. And Jesus said, I want to baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. And when his fire meets the candle, there is ignition and there is light. This is your day. You know, we stayed at a hotel. And usually most hotels, they usually have like a continental breakfast in the morning. And, you know, they have pancakes or waffles or something like that just to feed you. And it's, you know, it's quite good. You know, when you wake up, nothing's good like a good breakfast. And if you've been waking up during this service, Jesus says, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. On over here, we have a big serving of the bread of life that was broken for you. For a beverage, we have the living water that will quench your thirst. I'm trying to stop. I got to quit. Okay, I'm trying to quit. But down here, we got continental breakfast. If you would just wake up, if you just get out of that bed and wake up, breakfast is served to quench your hunger and to quench your thirst. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned water into wine. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Wake up. It's a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I'm trying to quit. I got to quit. Come on down here. I'm going to quit because I'll just keep preaching. Get on over here. You want breakfast? Breakfast is served. Bread of life, living water. Eat all you want. Drink all you want. It's a stream that never runs dry. It's a buffet that you can't finish. God just keeps cooking good stuff up. That's why I said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise God. Come and dine. The brightness of his coming. Brightness of his coming. Praise God. I'm going to pray a general prayer. I'm going to come around and bless you guys. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have inside of you light, you have life, you have the Word, you have the Spirit. And if you do, what I want you, the way that we spread light, if you have one candle, you just keep lighting other candles. And eventually it fills the whole house. If you have the Holy Spirit, I want you to find someone that maybe does not have the Holy Spirit, if you can. Or find someone that is that hasn't fully come to Christ. And as you pray, start allowing the light that's in you to get on them. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to release a blessing. I'm going to pass this over to Pastor. Right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that your light would shine in this place. And that the darkness that are in the lives of those that are before me this day, the darkness would be dispelled before you in the name of Jesus. For you said that in the beginning, that you said, let there be light. And there was light. The darkness could not refuse it, but it had to bring forth light. And I speak in the name of Jesus that light would begin to permeate this place. The brightness of his coming will begin to fill this place. And that people who are sleeping and slumbering in darkness would awake up to the light of Jesus Christ. I release it now. In the name of Jesus, darkness fall. Darkness be broken. Darkness be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. In the name of Jesus, be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Spirit of Antichrist, you are defeated in the name of Jesus by the word of God and by the brightness of his coming. We speak it now in Jesus' name. Somebody begin to worship him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.